It is a great joy to be with you on this Resurrection Sunday morning, and as we tell the world, Jesus is just as real and alive as you and I are, and we know that he's here today, and he's here to celebrate with us, and what a great privilege that is. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. I'm going to be reading this text, sharing a few thoughts from it. I would like to note before I do that, that in the Bible, the word heaven refers specifically to eternal life after the second coming of Jesus. But this morning, I'm going to define it more broadly to include the intermediate state between the time that our earthly bodies die and the time that Jesus comes again. So with that in mind, listen to these powerful words of the Apostle Paul. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'd like to begin by asking you a question you almost certainly have never been asked before. Do you want to get into heaven before you die? Think about that, before you die. Well, the good news of Easter is you can. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 reveals how. So let's take a look at this verse. Paul mentions the second person of God here, whom he calls Christ Jesus, and for good reason. And you know the reason. It's simply he's the greatest and the best. And by that I mean he's, number one, utterly lovely or good, and number two, utterly competent or great. The term the gospel in verse 10 references what he was good enough and great enough to do. And we call this the gospel. The Bible says that he came to earth in the flesh. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross, a substitutionary death for the sins of everyone. In time and space, in history, while the clock was still ticking, he rose from the dead. And then, the Bible says, he ascended into heaven. We call those first four actions his finished work, what he did do. We call the fifth action, which is often neglected, his ascension, the continuing work, what he is doing. And you know what that is by experience. He's working unceasingly in us, through us, for us, and upon us in our day-to-day lives. Now, verse 10 teaches us what the finished and continuing works of Jesus achieve for us. It's two things, both of which I want to quickly explain to you. First, his finished work gets us into heaven after we die. Notice the word death in verse 10. Surveys consistently show that people fear two things more than any others. Do you happen to know what those are? Public speaking and death. That's what people fear the most. In reality, people fear death the most. As one prominent New York psychiatrist candidly admitted to a friend of his one evening, "To tell you the truth, I'm scared to death of dying." That is the posture that's typical of most people in our world. But it is not our posture if we're disciples of Jesus, because we both know and believe what his finished work did. And Paul tells us very clearly here, it abolished death. And we would say amen to that, right? It abolished death. The Greek word translated abolished there means it eradicated it. It simply stamped it out. Verse 10 explains how it did, and I quote Paul, "It brought what to light there?" Do you see that in your verse? It brought immortality to light. The word immortality denotes never-ending life, which is the case if we're disciples of Jesus. Lying on his deathbed over 100 years ago, the celebrated 19th century evangelist Dwight L. Moody told a group of friends who were visiting him, and I quote him, "I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1856. that which is born of the flesh may die. Then listen to this. That which is born of the Spirit will live forever. And that's exactly right, isn't it? We will live forever if we're born of the Spirit. Our lives never end. Or to say it more specifically, and this is how I like to say it, our powers of consciousness to perceive and think about reality, and our powers of activity to act upon and interact with reality, our powers of consciousness and activity never cease. And I mean that literally. They continue on, and they dramatically increase in the nanosecond after our earthly bodies die. That's what Jesus meant in John chapter 11, verse 26, and all of you know this text, when he said, those who believe in me will what? Never die. And understand, he was speaking literally there, not metaphorically. Let me flesh this out for you with an example. I watched my godly mother take her final breath on earth. She died, but her powers of consciousness and activity continued on uninterrupted and dramatically increased. A young man named Terence Tao has the highest IQ of anyone on planet Earth. At least the article I read said that. A staggering 225. Can you imagine that? A person with an IQ of 225? Well, in contrast to that, my mother had, at best, an average IQ, probably 95, maybe 100, and only an eighth grade education. But her IQ now, as I speak, dwarfs Terence Tao's. In fact, I would say this, my mother now could think circles around Terence Tao. That's just one of many ways her powers of consciousness and activity increased. And the good news of the gospel, the good news of Easter is, ours will too in the nanosecond after our earthly bodies die. They'll dramatically increase in a breathtaking life, in a breathtaking environment and world inhabited by breathtaking beings, the most glorious of whom is obviously Yahweh, our God. Well, grasp what all of that together means. And this is part of our message to the world. We say it with confidence. Death is a non-factor to us. Hear that again. Death is a non-factor to us. To most people out there in the world, it's ultimate. To us, it's nothing. It's not a concern of ours at all. We're utterly at ease in the face of it. In fact, I would be so bold to say, as the Apostle Paul did, we eagerly anticipate it. It's something we look forward to. Why? It's because we both know and believe what the finished work of Jesus achieves for us. It gets us into heaven after we die. We also know and believe what his continuing work achieves for us. And this is my favorite part of the gospel. It gets us into heaven before we die. The word life in verse 10 suggests that. Notice something interesting. Paul links it with the word immortality, implying it refers to specifically eternal life, life in heaven. Now, the Bible reveals what the foundational conditions of life in heaven are going to be: love, peace, and joy. And I like to describe it this way. Perfect love, peace, and joy will always be fully present in every person and experience. Their antipodes, their opposites, which are malice and contempt, anxiety and fear, and sadness and despair, they will always be fully absent. That's life in heaven. Well, verse 10 makes a startling claim about that life. Notice the terminology there. Jesus brought it to light. Brought it to light means, and this is so important to understand, brought it to light means His continuing work makes it available to us all, in part, here and now, in our day-to-day lives. Let me explain this very quickly for you. Does anyone know what the central message of Jesus and the New Testament is? Matthew 4:17. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you've all heard that. It's in the book of Acts. It's in the Gospels. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven refers to the spiritual realm of God and what Hebrews 6:5 calls the powers of the age to come. At hand means God and those powers are available to us in part here and now in our day-to-day lives. And I like the way Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5 says this. We can actually taste of them. We can access them, in other words. We can access the kingdom of heaven at hand. And the Bible makes clear how we do. And this is something very specific. We apprentice ourselves to Jesus. We become disciples of Him. And as I try to tell people, that's something very specific and observable. First, we firmly make the decision to be with Him in order to become like Him and to learn and do all that He says. Second, we then arrange our day-to-day affairs around faithfully carrying out that decision. Something supernatural happens as we do that. Heaven gets into us. Think about that terminology. Heaven gets into us. We want others and us to get into heaven after we die, don't we? We should also want heaven to get into others and us before we die. Well, it does as we carry out our discipleship to Jesus. God and the powers of the age to come work unceasingly in, upon, through, and for us all the days of our lives. They doing so, in turn, transforms the psychological persons we are, and as a result of that, the behavioral lives we live. In our thinking, feeling, willing, acting, and reacting, we become increasingly like the person we will be in heaven. And let me say that again. It's absolutely profound and powerful. In our thinking, feeling, willing, acting, and reacting, we become increasingly like the person we will be in heaven. Now, don't misunderstand me. We don't become completely that. None of us is perfect or ever will be in this life on planet Earth. But we do become increasingly like that. As a practical matter, love, peace, and joy increasingly prevail in our inner and outer life. The anecdotal evidence, and I'm talking about really 2,000 years of it, proves it so. For example, I'm glad to be criticized and learn from it when I am. I desire that other people outshine me, that they do better than me, and I rejoice when they do. I'm confident of outcomes even when everything around me is going from bad to worse. I have goodwill toward those who harm me. I enjoy simple things more than others enjoy extravagant things. And on it goes. Those are a sampling of testimonies I've actually heard disciples of Jesus share over the years. And I tell them because they reflect, they embody the essential message of Easter, which is this. Access the kingdom of heaven at hand by becoming a disciple of Jesus. You will become an increasingly eternal kind of person who lives an increasingly eternal kind of life if you do. Love, peace, and joy will increasingly prevail in your inner and outer life if you do that. Or to say this a different way, and I'm saying it metaphorically, you will get into heaven, not just after you die, but before you die as well.